What happened here is this. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We already discussed and say that Matthew talks about king, talks about authority. Right? Yes? We talk about Mark as a ox, right? A servant. Not a symbol, a servant, and therefore he served. Yes? Correct? Then we talk about Luke, which is a man, and as a man, he has relationship. And John is the eagle, and as the eagle, he has what? He's God. And God, Jesus, this is his true identity. Clear? You know something? It's only four part. Your soul is five. There's one part missing. Isn't it true? Do you know why? How you wish you have five gospels, not four, right? It is deliberately done that way because God cannot touch your free will. Your will is your free will, your right to choose whether to listen to God or listen to your old creation. So therefore, watch this. Therefore, in your new creation, all right, in your new creation, you have that five circles. This is the only area that God will not touch. All right? Now, what's A again? Memory. What's B? Imagination. What's C? Intellect. And D is your emotion. I'm not going to touch E, okay? The question right now in your mind is, how do I be so transformed that whatever the Holy Spirit shows me, I come in line with the Holy Spirit? Everybody wants to come in line with the Holy Spirit? Yes? So this is our struggle. And that is why there is four gospel. If you take authority, service, relationship, identity, these four fits one of this. Let's do a guessing game. Let's start. A, memory. Which one fits memory?
Identity.
Identity? Okay. Anybody else? Huh? Authority. Anybody else?
I would
have gone with identity. Identity? Okay. Anybody else? Now, this is my answer, okay? And this is what I tell everyone. You must remember who you are in Christ. And that's your identity. All right? Sorry. That's wrong. It is wrong. No, it's wrong. I deliberately did that. It is wrong. Okay, I'll tell you why it's wrong, okay? I'll tell you why it's wrong. But A is actually authority. You must remember that you are a king. Because Jesus is King of Kings. That kingship talks about authority. That means in your memory, you must remember that you are born again. Okay? Your identity, I'll give you your identity. Your identity comes into imagination. Why? Because you don't understand God. So you have to use your imagination to imagine what heaven looks like. Have anybody seen Jesus face to face? I haven't. But can you imagine Jesus? Yes. Can you imagine what glory it is to walk in His glory? Yes. And therefore, your imagination is actually your identity. Clear? Clear so far? So let's come to the other two. Service. Service goes to? No, service and relationship is on this side. It's either intellect or emotion. Your service, you have to use intellect. You have to use intelligence to serve. You don't serve blindly. You don't serve ignorantly. Because God is not ignorant. I'm talking about once you are renewed in your mind. So, therefore, your emotion is for your relationship, ER. Does ER remind you of something? You understand? So your emotion is actually where you... Nobody likes to talk to somebody who is always intellectual. Isn't it true? Whether you like it or not, male or female, man or woman, we don't like to talk. Everybody knows a computer, I mean supercomputers, is smarter than you. But how many of you want to fall in love with a supercomputer? When you read Matthew now, when you read Matthew and you study about Jesus' authority, that is your memory. Because your memory right now of your own life is full of faults, failures, sin, wrong mistakes. But in Jesus' time, and only in the book of, in the Gospel of Matthew, do you see Jesus set the highest standard. Why? When he preached, when he had to give the Sermon of the Mount. It has been said, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say to you, if you hate your brother, you have already committed murder. That's a higher degree. You understand? So as a king, as an authority, you always live at the higher standard. And therefore, first one, your memory, you must remember you are born again to be king as sons of God. And then you have intellect. When you serve, you use intelligence. And your intelligence is not to rule over people. Your intelligence is to take it. And how do I serve my fellow brothers and sisters better? How do I serve them with the wisdom of God moving in me? Spirit, right? Because you're moved by the Spirit, right? So now the Spirit is in your intellect. And therefore you're able to talk to people and use as few words as possible, but minister to their heart. Some people, you can sit down there, they talk for hours and hours, but they talk nonsense. Isn't it true? A person can come up to a pulpit and preach for 1 hour. Sounds all very theological, but they talk nothing. True? But yet you get ministers and it comes out and they preach a very simple 15, 20 minutes sermon and people are ministered. And then emotion, not your emotion, his emotion. And what is his emotion? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You know what I'm saying? That the fruit, and as you allow, it is not you. It is the Holy Spirit living through you. So when you deal with difficult people, instead of, it's like, that patience is flowing. That grace is flowing. And that is how you align yourself to the Holy Spirit. And where do you find that? You find that in Luke. And you look at Luke, and the ending of Luke is that do not do anything until you receive power from on high. So sometimes when you deal with difficult people, whether you like it or not, sometimes it's not to try to correct the person. It's to ask God, how do you want me to relate? And sometimes he may be ranting and all that. And God says, just be patient to listen. That's all he wants. Somebody to listen to him. Or they are ranting and God says, step in and be firm. Hey, stop it. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you are able to react different. That's why Jesus never healed one way. He spit on the ground. How many of you like me to spit on you? He spit, make mud. Right? He laid hands. He sent his word. People touch his garment, they get healed. True? Why? Because God is faithful, but he's not predictable. You know what's our problem? We want to be able to have a God that is, if God is predictable, he cannot be God. But he's faithful. He will come true for you. He will. The thing is that, where is your eyes looking at? So many of us, we are stuck with our physical manifestation when God is actually dealing with multiple dimensions. Clear? And then imagination, where is your identity? Is your imagination. Because this is where, when you allow the Holy Spirit to take over your imagination, that you will see what he really is. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that you can think or imagine. So God is always expanding, expanding, expanding. He's never stuck. Do you know why you are stuck? You're stuck because you put up four walls. You are in your comfort zone, and that is actually your death zone. Anytime you get into a position, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's in your work, whether you get bored and you get stuck because you're so comfortable, you refuse to move. But God is always moving. No, it must be this way. It must be this set. It must be this much. It must be this hot. It must be this cold. It cannot be so loud. You set things according to your light and you get stuck. But God is moving. And you get angry because other people are following God and prospering and you're stuck and getting bitter because this part here is not being renewed. So I got homework for all of you. For the next 6 months, your homework is to read Romans to 2 Thessalonians again and again and again and find out these four phrases. In him, in Christ, through him, through Christ. Because that is your identity. In him, in Christ, through him, through Christ. And when you read from Romans to 2 Thessalonians, as you read and you underline, you see all these four phrases, in him, underline, through him, underline, in Christ, underline, through Christ, underline. Then ask God, show me my identity. Because once you understand your identity, no matter what happened on the outside, you are secure. So I go back to Bill Gates' son's example. And by the way, that is actually a true story. His son got lost one day somewhere. His car got bashed up. And, he was in the middle of nowhere. He walked into the town. He walked to the first bank and he says, can I borrow your phone? He says, why? I need money. He says, do you have a bank account with us? He says, no, but I need to call my dad. He says, you can use a public phone outside. He says, you don't know my dad. Yeah, I don't know my dad. I do not know you, but you will know my dad. He says, who's your dad? William B. Gates. Okay, here's the phone. It's actually a true story. I read this somewhere a long time ago. Why? Because he knew. Now, think about it. If it's a physical man with a physical father, how much more you who have Abba Father? Do you know why we struggle? Because we do not know who we are in Christ. Many of our identity is our ministry, the job we do, the things we have, the car, the house. That's not your identity. That is your blessings. That's all. I don't have a car. I don't own a car in Singapore. Do you know something? I was telling Vic, I said that, you know, many a times my buddies, you know, I have buddies, you know, they say, hey, let's go out for a meal together. And all of them drive. They're all in my age group. They're all 55, 56. They're all in my age group. And many of them are millionaires. They have Mercedes, BMWs, Maserati, Porsches. And they're all going to ask, so who's picking up Paul? Who's picking up Paul? That's the most common question they ask every time they ask me out. And after that, I ask, who's sending Paul home? And for many years, I said, Lord, please bless me enough finance to buy a car, even if it's a Mitsubishi or a Honda. You understand? One day, I saw the word, variety. I'm like, variety? Lord, I'm praying about a car, and I keep seeing the word, variety. I said, variety? And then the Holy Spirit, I've given you a variety of cars, and you don't need to buy them. You're chauffeured around. Can you imagine? I'm living in a government apartment, and suddenly this loud Maserati coming, brum, 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 and everybody's looking down, you know. Who is this noisy car? Brum, 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 brum. Wow, nice blue Maserati. Hey, beep, beep, hey, I'm down here, come on down. And I'm rocking up. The neighbor asked me, what club are you in? Because I see Mercedes, I see BM, I see Lexus, I see Porsche, I see Maserati. What club are you in? I says, the heavenly club. And some of my friends are not believers. But we're just good friends. Understand, if you want to be a leader that touch people's life, that minister to people, regardless of how big or how small your ministry is, you first and foremost need to know who you are. That is why God asked Jacob, what is your name? Jacob took the father's blessing by using Esau's name. God do not want him to take Esau's name again. And he asked Jacob, what is your name? No longer are you called Jacob. You'll be called Prince of God. What an honor. What an honor. He had the earthly blessing from his father. Now he has a heavenly blessing. And that's why Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. On heaven and in heaven and on earth. What is your identity? It's not you, it's not Stuart, it's not Paul, it's not Victor, it's not Sean, it's not Carol, it's not Val, it's not. It's Christ. It's Jesus. That's our identity. What did Peter say when he went to, in the book of Acts, when he went to the temple and the beggar was standing there looking and says, look unto me, silver and gold I do not have. What I have, I give to you. What I have, what did he have? He had Jesus. What did the Apostle Paul say? God will judge the world according to my gospel. Hey, I thought it was Jesus' gospel. Do you know why? He made Jesus and him as one. That's what Jesus said in John. If you abide in me and I abide in you and my Father abide in us, you are one. You are one. And therefore, you are able to speak things that are not as though they are. Speak. And even if you don't see it, speak again. You don't see it, speak again. As long as you know, it's not. Listen, guys. It is God's pleasure to see his children blessed. Do you understand? It is God's pleasure to see his children blessed. But the children need to understand you to be blessed according to God's way. You need to speak God's language. The word confession in the Greek is the word homologio. Homo, same. Logio, speech, same speaking. speak the same way God speak. Jesus never see a blind man. Wow, so blind. Have you seen Jesus say that? Oh, this man crippled since birth. Ooh, Jesus is a hard one. Have you ever seen Jesus do that? No. And if you read carefully, he actually never talked about the diseases. He never talked about the condition. He spoke what he wanted to see. The man with the shriveled hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. Can you imagine his hand is shriveled? Stretch forth your hand. I can't. But as he did it, his hand became full. Because if your hand is shriveled, you cannot stretch forth. But just stretch forth your hand, because Jesus see his hand already restored. Jairus' daughter died. Jesus says, hey, shut up. She's asleep, not dead. Is she dead? Is she dead? She's dead. Lazarus, this sickness will be not unto death. Did Lazarus die? Buried 4 days. If that's not dead, I don't know what's dead. But what did Jesus say? This sickness is not unto... So did Jesus... Oh no, I'm 4 days late. Sorry, Mary. Sorry, Martha. Should have come. Should have taken the 3:30 flight. Isn't it so? Think about it. Why did Jesus weep when he knows in the next minute he's going to raise Lazarus? Where did you bury him? Come and see. He went, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The next verse, Lazarus, come forth. And the guy came out. Isn't it true? But what did Jesus say? Even before he went there, he knew Lazarus was before this dead. He knew. But yet he refused to say it. But for the disciples' sake, he said, Lazarus is dead. For them to understand, Lazarus is dead. But look at what he says. This sickness is not unto death. My question to you is this. Do you speak what you see, or do you see what you speak? Do you speak what you see, or do you see what you speak? Abraham, he looked at his condition. The Romans says, even Father Abraham. Right? He looked at his condition, 100 years old. And Sarah, past the age of childbearing, yet he did not waver, right? But he trusted. Guys, listen carefully here. When God gave you a promise, when God gave you a vision, when God gave you a dream, don't chase the promise, don't chase the vision, don't chase the dream, chase the promiser. Think about this. When God came down with the two angels, he asked, where is Sarah? In the tent. This time next year, Sarah will have a child. Sarah laughed. Will I have fun at this age? God says, why did Sarah laugh? I didn't laugh. Can you imagine? She lied to God straight in the face. It's not lied to an angel, she lied to God. No, you did laugh. She denied it. What did Abraham say? Nothing. Check. Go and read. Abraham said nothing. You said it. I believe it. That's it. That's where Kenneth Copeland got his. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And he used Abraham's example. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So who do you believe? Who do you believe? Does God exist in your life? Is Abba real? If he is, has he spoken? Then just trust him. Just trust him. Therefore, as you see your life to be indestructible, when your spirit with the Holy Spirit and your soul here, your imagination, your memory, your intellect, your emotion, your will, when they're all in line, this body, this manifestation is very simple. There's no struggle. What did James say? You have not because you ask not, and you ask in doubt. Why do you doubt? Not here, but here. I'm not good enough. I need to do this. Maybe I won't get it. Why do you doubt? Because the word is not in you. Turn your Bible to John chapter 15. John 15, reading from verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me. Now, you all know that this is a wrong interpretation. Huh? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The word takes away is unfortunate. In the Greek, is the word aerio. You know what's aerio? You know what's lifted up? How do you dry your laundry? How do you dry your... You hang it up. Okay? So in the old... It says, I'm the vine. Notice the description. Jesus used the word vine, not olive tree. Paul used olive tree in Romans 11. Jesus used vine. So, okay, sidetrack. Back in those days, to grow grapes, they actually put the grapes on what they call trestles. Trestles? Yeah. Trestles, you understand trestles? And they actually look like cross. All right? So the vine starts growing. And as they start growing, the leaves will come out and the fruits will come out. Some branches become too long and their fruits touch the ground. And some of this, because they are, back in those days, they don't have, chemicals to kill the bugs and all that. All this will be destroyed. So the word aerial is the word lift up. So when you are that branch that is down here, your fruits is destroyed. What does God the gardener do? Come and bring you back to the cross. Come and bring you back to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Yeah. All right? So the word take away is unfortunate. All right? The word take away is unfortunate. It should be lifted up. Lifted up back to the cross. Reminds you, bring you back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It brings you back to the finished work of Jesus Christ. All right? So it says here in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. Okay? I'm going to just read that. Every branch that bear fruit, he prunes. He prunes. All right? Why? To take away the unnecessary so that what is necessary goes to focus. Okay? That you may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide, now watch verse 4 onwards. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So we talk about everyone looking at the fruits. But do you know some people are like the branches that wants to be departed, the one is separated from the vine, and think that they can produce fruit. I can do it, Lord. That's what the Jews said. Everything you say, everything you command, we can do. That's what they said in Exodus 19. Everything you say, we can do. They can't even cross the Red Sea. All right? And this is where the next one, this is where a lot of us make the mistake. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. Now, it simply means this, it is your choice. The branch organically does not have a choice. But as a human, this is where the E, your free will, your free choice, God cannot interfere. You have to want to abide. You have to want to get into the Word. You have to want to study the Word. You have to want to find out who you are in Christ. It doesn't come naturally. You have to put in the time, the effort at rest. And therefore, when you are that ignorant stage, that dark stage, that transformation stage, where it's ignorant, we cannot see the light, is where you put in a lot of your time. Instead of wondering what's happening, you know, he says, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to go into your word. I'll take the time to pray. I'll take the time. I do not know when it's going to break through, it's going to come forth. By the way, there's no such thing as breakthrough for the Christian, because Jesus broke through for us. It's the manifestation. I do not know when the manifestation is coming, but while I'm waiting, while it's not here yet, what do? I do what my hand can do. What can you do? Read the word, study, get into the word, teach, listen, study, listen, pray. Get into the word. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. I spend a good amount of time in Singapore. You know, Vic was telling me, he says, Paul, why don't you write your books? Because there's so much to write. I says, how do I write books? Like, even this trip, I gave one, on the way home that night, I gave Nance and Evelyn Indestructible, and next morning I say Indescribable, they look at one another. I said Indestructible. But isn't it true? Jesus, to me, for years, I've been teaching, Jesus is indestructible. The cross, the finished work on the cross, is indestructible. Nothing can come against the cross. True? And next morning, I woke up at 4:30 trying to go back to sleep for 2 hours, you know, trying to go back to sleep. And the word keep coming to me, indescribable, indescribable. I'm like, okay, indestructible, indescribable. And I say, oh, 6:15, time to get up. Turn around, I fall asleep. I could have said, yes, Lord, I hear you. So I told you, I'm a very slow learner. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather him and throw him into the fire, and they get burned. Verse 7, listen carefully here in verse 7. So many times Jesus repeat, if you abide in me. If you abide in me. He says that you should. He never said you must. He says if you. That gives you a choice. But look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words, not I, but my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Who's doing it for you? God is doing it for you. Not you doing it. But you have a choice. And the choice is His Word. Now, if you don't study, you don't spend time in the Word, you don't get into the study, what Word do you have? People's Magazine? The Daily Times? What's the Northern Scott, is it? Northern Scott? What Word do you have? So I want this church, you guys, to prosper. And John said, prosper even as your soul prosper. How does your soul prosper? By the renewing of your mind. He didn't say it. Beloved, I pray that you prosper even as your spirit prosper, because the spirit is perfect. The soul is not. True? Clear? And therefore, it's important for us as we close tonight. Guys, it's my desire to see you prosper, regardless of your age, regardless how many years that you have struggled. Please get into the stage of rest. You may not know what's happening. Get into the Word. You want God to minister to you. God, listen, you are multidimensional. God, don't answer in single dimension, because God did not create you single dimension. That's why in the Gospel of John, you look at the way you study John, all right? You study the Gospel of John. You find this. That there are 7 miracles that Jesus did, 8 signs. And out of the 8 signs, there's only 2 signs He uses His hand. One was the breaking of bread for the 5,000, the multiplication of bread and fishes for the 5,000. Second one is when He spit on the ground and make mud. That's the only two times he uses physical touch. The rest, and that means if you discount human physical touch, even the bread is not human physical touch. He was touching the bread. Do you understand? But the rest of them, all he did was he spoke. Fill up the water pots. Go and do this. Go. Your son is healed. All he did was spoke. You know what God is trying to tell us? God says, I have given you the most powerful gift, and that is my word. And I've given you the most powerful tool, and that is your mouth. So it is your choice to speak what you want to see or speak what you are seeing. It is your choice. So I speak over MGF right now that you shall prosper and increase in number, that you will grow. And all of you here, that you'll be healthier and healthier. You do not need to be subjected to the world. We are in the world. We are not of the world. And therefore, the sickness for all those people who are 60, 70, and they got arthritis, they got this, they got that, let them have it. Please tell them, take mine. But for you, you get healthier and healthier, stronger and stronger. You don't have to suffer what the world suffers. You're not of the world. You're of Christ. And if you understand that, no matter what happened, even, you know, I was sharing with Vic, September last year, I had a TIA, you know what's a TIA? Transient ischemic attack. At 4, on the 4th of September, 2:30 in the morning, I woke up and I had numbness here. Sunday morning, I woke up, my wife was sleeping, I was sleeping this side. Suddenly, I woke up with this numbness. So I walked into my toilet and I did the fast to do the facial and smile. Okay, see whether it's drooping. Not drooping, you know, but I still feel that numbness there. All right? Then I did my hand. It's not drooping. You're supposed to put it straight and see whether it's drooping. It's not. It was all even. And then I did my balance, you know, and therefore I never telephoned. T means telephone fast. I never telephoned. So I went back. I took Holy Communion at home, alone. My family was sleeping. And I walked around my living room just praying in tongues. Until 4 o'clock, I felt slightly better. I went back to sleep. 6:30, 7 o'clock, I woke up. We went to church. Nothing happened. Came back from church after about 12 o'clock after lunch. I told Alicia and told my girls. I said, I'm tired. I just wanted to rest. So I went to sleep. About 1-ish. At 2:30, on my left side of my brain, it felt as if somebody using his thumb or his finger and press, and the sharp pain came. And I woke up with a stutter. And I told my wife, I've got this huge pain here. So I told her what happened last night in the morning. So she did our BP. My BP is always very good, 118, 75, 116, 72. You know, it's always been very good. My heartbeat has always been my heart rate has always been 60 to 65. It's always around that range. And my BP went up to 125 over 90. And my daughter says, Dad, you better go to hospital. So my wife and I walked to hospital. There's a hospital near my house. So we walked to hospital, like on a date. I went to the hospital. I gave my identification card to the reception. He says, oh, take a seat. I says, oh, by the way, I had numbness this morning. Oh, you got numbness. So he said, anyway, take a number and we'll call you. So just where Michelle is standing is the reception. I'm walking here. This is where the seat is. I'm about to see and I saw my number flash. They came out with a wheelchair. They put the triage. Nurse measured my BP. My BP shot up. 165, 105. Immediately put me into a drip. Put me in. Did all the tests. I had ECG. You name it, they done it. 11 o'clock next morning, the doctor says, Mr. Lowe, you can go home. I said, what's wrong with me? We don't know. Well, that's nice. And what happened was that was a Monday, the 5th of September. 4 days later, I flew to Hong Kong for my conference. And I missed the neuro specialist appointment. So they set up the appointment until October because he's so busy, you know. So October, when I saw him, he showed me from all the MRI and everything. He says, we can't find anything. But I'm going to order a test, a set of blood tests that I normally do not order. I said, okay, cost you a bit of money. In Singapore, hospitalization is not free, okay? We don't have Commonwealth because the wealth not common there. Okay? They took 14 tubes of blood. I'm sitting down there, you know, the tubes of blood were there. I'm like, the first nurse, the nurse that was doing it, I mean, I didn't feel anything. The first nurse was, oh, that's a lot of blood. I thought two or three tubes. Another senior nurse was like, wow, that's a lot of blood. And so I'm like, why are they saying there's a lot of blood? I'm looking. And I'm like, there are seven tubes and seven more to go. So they took blood. It says that we'll give you a call if anything. If not, we'll see you in January. That's October. They're going to see me in January. January, I came back. I just came back from Philippines on the day of Philippines. The next day after I landed from my mission trip in the Philippines, I went to the hospital. They put me on the ECG, on the machine, stay overnight to measure my heartbeat and all that. And then next morning, they took it out and give me an ultrasound. I went through another MRI. And I see the doctor the next day, and the doctor says, Mr. Low, we don't know what's wrong. Because they took all my blood to check whether I had different sort of cancer. So I says, amazing, from my blood you can test whether my liver is working, my lungs are working, whether I got cancer in my, you know. I says, then he says, yeah, you know, so he showed me the brain. You know what? They found no brain. And then they showed me my heart. They found no heart. So I stand before you today. You know what's a positive thing? Medically, they told me, he told me this. How old are you, sir? You're 56. You have a heart of less than a 40-year-old man. So he said, do you do exercise? I said, yes. What sort of exercise do you do? Walking in and out of restaurants. Because that's what I do. I travel, people host me, they bring me to a restaurant, I walk in, I eat, finish, I walk out. Whatever comes your way, beloved, whatever comes your way, know who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you cannot be an effective leader. Every true leader. That is why the apostles, when Jesus was crucified and even after his resurrection, they all huddle in fear. But yet when they die, they all die individually, all alone by themselves. And yet, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you say that? Can you say that? For you to live right now is Christ. To die is gain. Philippians 1. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son. Not your faith, but by the faith of the Son of the living God. Don't use your faith. Because our faith is, hallelujah. Oh, horrible day. Hallelujah. Horrible day. Hallelujah. So finally, my desire for each and every one of you for the rest of 2018 will be days of refreshing. Every day, get into the Word, spend time with the Lord. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for every person here and all their families represented. Father, I pray, Lord, that even as they learn this bit of information, Lord, it is not complete, but Lord, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above what they can think or imagine, far above what I have taught, Lord, because Lord, I do not desire that they copy me, but Lord, they imitate you, Lord. I desire, Lord God, that as you use this fellowship, this MGF fellowship, to be a beacon. Lord, increase every person's perspective. Increase and deepen their revelation. That as they grow deeper and deeper into your word and deeper into the identity of who they are in Christ, Lord, when they look up, they are just naturally fruitful, Lord. That you do not concentrate on their fruits, but they concentrate on their roots in you. Lord Jesus, I pray you bless every family, every child, every parent, every brother, every sister, everyone that is facing whatever challenge. Lord, take their eyes away from looking down at their problems and tilt their head up to look at you, the author and the finisher of our faith. So the Lord bless you. Lift up your hands to the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, grant you wisdom, give you grace upon grace upon grace. His truth manifest in your life. His truth overflow to your being, that you know, that you understand by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord will bless you and give you a deeper revelation of your true identity in Christ. And as the Lord leads you, bless you, guide you through the power of the Holy Spirit, His shalom peace will surround you and protect you and your family, that no weapon they may form, but they cannot prosper against you. So the Lord bless you and keep you, for He is your shield, your exceedingly great reward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.